plastic surgery. Oh, dear,
mate. This show's going downhill. But it's time to bring back Matt. We'd done Madness last week, but it wasn't quite the same. So now it's the original and the best, and Mad Mick is angry, obviously talking about the issue in Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, where there's reports that ISIS has strong movements of people in those countries, and there's militants operating in Southeast Asia, and we might get involved with the Americans and other military organizations there as well, Mick. You're not a fan of this, which
no.
is what a surprise.
First thing
it's
is,
an American. You're not.
No, the first thing is.
But do you accept?
No, can you listen?
Can
to
you
the
accept
first?
There's violent extremism in Southeast
yes,
Asia?
Yes, there is.
Yeah,
but if
let's
you listen
be clear
to the
that.
First part, right? If you go in, the ISIS will use the excuse Christian against Muslim. And we don't want that.
But I checked the census this week, Mick. We're not very Christian this week.
No, there's actually less than
less
there was
and less
five
and less.
Years ago.
No, but that's what it's going to be labeled as. The second thing is...
It's more atheist.
Everything we go in with America, we have lost the wars. We've lost Korea. We lost
World War
Vietnam,
One and Two.
We lost
World
everything.
One and,
and we're
not
still
everything.
Fighting. We're still
we're
fighting in the Middle East. 14 or 15 years later. So we shouldn't spread our forces out. If we go and fight them, we should fight them on our beaches, on our land. Leave the rest of them. Let the Indonesians fight their way. Let the Philippines fight their way. Because there's a different form of fighting, and we don't fight that way
as
they normally do.
What he's suggesting, though, isn't that we fight against Indonesia, but with Indonesia.
Yeah, that's
to
right.
Eradicate them. Isn't that okay?
No, because as you see, every time it's ISIS says,
but it's
Christian
different.
Against Muslim.
No,
and
you'll
be getting more people from to join them. So ISIS will say, oh, these Christians are fighting us because we're Muslims. Come and join the fight.
Isn't it more
against
about oil
them.
And land and things?
No, we're fighting
but
ISIS
they use
they
the excuse.
People.
They use the excuse. And when you get a... When you get people fighting for their religions, it doesn't matter. They don't give a damn. They'll fight until they die.
But we're not fighting for religious purposes, though.
That's what they'll be conceived of. That's what they'll be... how the people will say, this is Christians coming in to fight us.
But Indonesia's not a Christian country.
I know.
And if their military goes to get rid of the military...
They've got the biggest Muslim... They've got the biggest Muslim population in the world, so let them do their own fighting, not us.
But what if they can't, and then it gets worse?
They can do.
How?
You look at Vietnam. How did the North Vietnamese win? It was because we invaded them. They can't. They fought because they were fighting for their land. This is what these Muslims would be doing in ISIS in the Philippines and in Indonesia. You let the other Muslims fight them because they have the same fight against them. They'll be fighting for their land. Both will be fighting for each other's land.
We're not fighting for land in Southeast
this
Asia.
This is what you're going to fight for.
We're fighting for
no,
a,
they're not
for
fighting
religion.
For
religion.
You
they're,
are.
They're
you're fighting
group.
For land. You're also fighting for the caliphate.
I thought they're trying to fight to make it a better place for people.
For a caliphate. You know what a caliphate is? Making Muslims rule, and that's the run. They cut your hand off if you steal something.
Oh, I think we're being
statistic
here, Mick.
If you have an adultery affair, you get stoned to death. These are the
facts.
That's
Islamic law.
That's and this is what they want. As soon as you put the Christians in, all the Jews, they'll be fighting. These are the people fighting against the Muslims, and that's what they will use to fight us with.
But Muslims aren't also for these people, Mick.
I know. Let the Muslims fight for them. If you come in, it's going to be like Vietnam, Korea.
But it's not.
We have
messed
up. And they're
up
also
there,
using the
because in Vietnam we went against the government regime there.
Also,
and in Korea we went against the government there. It was a war between states.
They also
this is a war against terrorist groups. Yeah. And if it's a war against terrorist groups, and if you're all united against the terrorist groups, you've probably got a good chance of defeating them. But
what's
sitting there and letting them breed and continue their
what's
operations.
What's the difference between a terrorist and a freedom fighter? Nothing.
It was a lot.
There's nothing.
Freedom fighters.
It just depends on which side you're on.
Well, I don't know. I think
and
I can identify an ISIS
the theory
person
is, by these theories. Have you ever heard of the domino theory? Where if one country goes communist, every other country beside it will fall down. This is the same thing as they're trying. If one falls, everyone falls into the ISIS thing. Let the Muslims fight their own battles, so they can't use the
But it's not a battle of Muslims, Mick. There's people are targeting people in Western Europe.
It is so.
It's not. These groups are targeting people in Western Europe.
Why did they target...
They're targeting people in America.
Why did they target France? Why did they target France? Because French went in. Why did they target England? England went in. Why did they charge America? America's been in. So we've also been attacked because we've been fighting with them.
Yeah, well, you've got to do something to stop these terrorists.
They're the only ones who can beat their battles. They have to fight their own battles, not us fight their battles for them. We've seen what's happened to Afghanistan. We help them, billions of dollars wasted down the drain. We leave, and then they get taken over by ISIS again. No, this is what we should be doing. Leave it alone.
The issue is, Mick, this is a growing threat.
They're
losing in the Middle East a bit more. That means Southeast Asia are going to Southeast Asia.
You're looking at the same problem with communism as the same as ISIS.
These are terrorists.
These are freedom fighters. It depends on who you're looking at.
They're not a freedom fighter, Mick.
What would Ned Kelly be? Was he a criminal or was he a freedom fighter? No, he was a freedom fighter.
Last time I checked, I don't think ISIS is on the side of liberty.
Or wearing
or
helmets.
Freedom. They're not really big on freedom.
And they're not wearing...
They're big on shooting tin things helmets, and either. Blowing things up, including
themselves. Yeah, they want to take over the place and use their own rule. That's the same as what Vietnam, Korea, everything else we fought for.
They want to
And we've always lost.
Yeah.
Don't trust America to go in because they won't win because they don't fight the
right
way.
World War II, Mick. They did win World War II.
They were just lucky about that.
Lucky.
They had the Australians fighting and then the English.
So isn't that why you want Australia to help
no.
them?
No. So, we'll get involved.
Mad Nick's Eternity World History coming up in two books, I think.
Learn by your past mistakes so you don't make the same mistakes over again, over and over.
You can't just ignore it, though.
Now, the census is out this week, Mick, and big news.
Pauline Hanson was right.
The average person is a...
No, well...
A Pauline Hanson was right.
Where is she?
She said we've been overwhelmed.
How she earns 560 a week, though? It's like quite light.
Yeah, I know.
She said... We're being overrun with Chinese, and they said the highest amount of...
Yeah, but that's just because population boom.
You go to Chatswood, you go to Hurstville.
Yeah, there's Chinese people there, Mick. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
People
got to
live somewhere, Mick.
Yeah, but you always put Pauline Hanson down when she states certain facts, and that's
she's a nasty
racist.
She's going about it the wrong way, though. She's making it like a hate crime.
No. She's just saying...
Okay, so she complained we're overrun by Asians, and now the Asian population has increased. She hasn't said much about it lately, has she?
The Indian population has increased too.
Hindus. Yeah,
that's still Asian.
Hindus.
India's in Asia.
But why didn't she mention that?
Or the subcontinent, depending on geographical... There's a debate for next hour. Is India in Asia or is it in the subcontinent?
It is moving into Asia. It's just drifting, and that's where all the earthquakes come from.
Right.
But what about the commentary during the week? Is that the Muslim population increased by a lot?
Mm. Yeah, Mick, what do you think?
And then the thing that I always loved about that...
I believe 30%. Us disbelievers are 30%.
I think that religion one was the best.
The thing it's like people go, the Muslim population increased by 0.6%. Oh, my God, that's a huge number.
That's it,
so did the Hindus.
Yeah.
But no one ever talked about the Hindus increasing by 0.6%.
Hindus are pretty safe.
Muslims mostly safe.
No. Hindus are very gentle people.
So are most
it's
Muslims.
Very rare
and most Muslims.
You get them fighting.
Well, I don't know. If you talk to some parts of people in India, they aren't particularly... They're quite dominant in parts of that country.
Yeah.
They're not... Like, there's issues in that country between different religions.
That's why the Baha'i religion was started.
Yeah.
The person who started Baha'i... was sick and tired of the Hindus and the Muslims fighting each other because of religion. So they made
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
The census was really interesting, though.
Yeah. Poor Christianity. Definitely got a few issues there.
Feed them to the lions, the Christians.
Going down slowly.
Feed them to the lions. We don't want a religious war. We're going to feed all the Christians to the lions, Mick. Yeah. Oh, dearie me.
There was some interesting stuff.
The English lions. They go, they can't play football anyway.
We're getting older.
We are getting older. Well, that's a given. That's not really...
I didn't need the census to tell me that. I just woke up this morning and went, I'm a day older.
Oh, it's another day.
Another day. Well, that's all for Mad Mick this hour. Mad Peter's coming up next.
Mad Peter.
And we've got a filmy couple, Dane and Sean, have found an egg donor to be a surrogate, and they're expecting to be parents. A five-year journey to start a family has taken them around the world. Thousands of dollars and kilometres later, they search for an egg donor and surrogate has ended up in the successful, running easy driving distance of their Wallandilly home. So, yes, they went all the way to find one and they just found one right near their house. So, good luck to them.
Now, the historic Broughton Pass has finally reopened after 380 days ago. It had, I guess, it was struck by weather.
Yeah, yes, it collapsed.
Yeah, well,
struck by weather.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun. It is now open, so you can.
That, because the kids, you know, because the kids had to go to other schools because it took them longer to.
Why didn't they go around?
It took them longer to get there because the bridge. An hour.
Get up half an hour earlier.
No, so. Okay. Everyone's happy that it's finally open and they can...
Well, they should be because it links commuters between Appin, Douglas Park, Picton and Wilton.
And the Appin shop owners... Exciting. The Appin shop owners were worried too. They're going to lose business as well.
People can't walk or go around or...
No, so now everyone's going to be happy now and they can get back to business.
Okay.
They can be happy campers.
Yes.
Now, Cameron Council's declared, obviously, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, One Minto a raging success. But according to the report at last week's meeting, according to the Chronicle, they had $10 million worth of revenue from the project.
Wow.
Where did that go?
I don't know. Where did it go?
Which project is this?
The One Minto project at Minto.
What's One Minto project?
Where they had the redevelopment of the suburb.
Yeah, where
at Minto. Oh, you know, you put the T in Minto, Mick.
Campbelltown Council's dumb boy, some housing commission or housing.
Yeah, the Department of Housing done it. Yeah. But yeah. Campbelltown Council got revenue from it, obviously.
Did they?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So $10 million worth.
$17?
$10 million worth.
$17.50, I think.
That's $17 would be worth finding a report for.
Missing from the thing, from...
From where? Out,
from the housing commission houses.
Yes.
What do you mean?
There was some money which was entrusted to the housing trust in Campbelltown, and suddenly, within a week, it went missing.
Which housing?
$17 million.
Yes.
Over near, what's that? Oh, near. Oh,
over there. Well, what are you talking about, Mick? I've got no idea what you're on about.
There was, when they sold up the housing commission houses up at Minto, some of the funds went to a corporation or to a board which was supposed to look after the money.
Is that the Inglewood Housing Authority, which a couple of years back had someone that dodged the money out of them?
No, it wasn't at Inglewood. It was at...
Where did the money go? Who took the money?
They do not know.
Well, that's pretty bad.
Just
and when they went to find it, they couldn't find it anywhere.
Right.
Well, they should start looking, one would suggest.
So, has Campbelltown got... Stolen
this is
money.
I don't think it's from stolen money, Mick, so let's be really clear about that. That's just a nonsensical argument, but they are basically in the report, they're saying they've got revenue from obviously all the changes in the rates and the other duties and stuff they collect when they sell blocks of land in the area. So when you sell blocks of land, the council gets money, right? So they get money from developer levies, which they charge, and they then get that money to then build things in the local area.
They do try to build things in the local.
Well, this is a debate. This has got up a lot of councils.
There's a lot of money being held in trust for them and having.
Well, this is the thing. Is your $10,000 or whatever the fee is on your block of land that you've purchased potentially go for your local area, or does it get held for other projects in the region? You know, like sports stadiums or whatever it might be. So,
government
plays
sports stadiums.
No, Campbelltown actually runs the sports stadium here.
Remember, how much do they pay for Parramatta Sports Stadium to get...
I know the state government does too, but in Campbelltown Stadium's case, is the council funds some of that stadium because they own the stadium in that case.
Who owns the Parramatta Stadium?
I don't know, don't care.
Don't know.
But the government's going to put money into Parramatta Stadium. That's great. I'm a Wanderers fan. Can't wait for it to be launched. Fantastic news, Mick. I don't know what you're whinging about.
The PN Hospital needs more than...
They've got more money.
Well... If they stop riding in the stands and making more hospital patients.
Yeah.
Or stop bike riders riding on the thing and make more.
If you make all the cars go 20 k's an hour, Mick, you will have less people in the hospital.
Yeah.
No, but you have more pedestrians in the hospital.
Okay.
Essentially, yes.
But Camden Council is likely to approve the highly anticipated Moorbank Sports Club in Gregory's Hill.
Makes perfect sense.
at meeting.
Is it Moorbank?
So are they going to change the name to Gregory Hill Sports Club?
Well, they should, because not Moorbank, is it? So
where's Moorbank coming from?
Moorbank.
Moorbank.
Why are they moving?
To be fair, Moorbank Sports Club's in Hammondville, so...
Hammondville Sports Club? No. The councils will consider a development application for the project.
Oh, okay.
After the club, known as Sporties, is hoping to expand into Gregory's Hill, so they've got their one. No, this is their second one, right? So,
it's like Mounties, is it?
Yeah. So that's the Mounties Sporting Club, a second one they want to have. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
They're not doing very well, sporting clubs, at present times.
Yeah.
Now, after the council's meeting last week, they've decided to put their Raby Precinct Traffic and Transport Study on public exhibition, which has in it, they're going to implement traffic lights to be installed at Eagle Vale Drive, and 10 locations to be upgraded by 2021. It doesn't say where it's going to be displayed, but it's going to be there for 28 days.
Oh, it's most probably in the ethos of the air.
Oh, it might be on the internet, yes, Mickey.
No, right. No, they just put it up in the air. It's being displayed. Don't we know somewhere?
I'm sure there'll be a physical location somewhere, maybe. If not, it'd be on the council website. Yeah.
Now, the budget complaints go on from guess who? The Labor Party's budget complaint team. Now, they're complaining about many things. The usual one, which is the Appen Road schmozzle, continues to go on. Angry residents still are angry. They haven't been less angry since we've talked about this for about, I don't know how many years we talked about this, Steve.
Oh, about 4 or 5, maybe?
4 years. Now, councillors learned his brother died earlier this year, so he's on a personal campaign against this and says the government should do more. Now, the federal government only allocated $5 million of their $50 million they promised as part of their re-election campaign. To be fair, they've got another budget to come, but they're pushing
for it.
Oh,
that's going
to
be fun.
But they're pushing for it to be earlier. Hasn't happened. Now, another controversial topics who was Campbelltown Hospital, where they announced in the budget $632 million. Now, this is the problem with budgets. When they announce budgets, they often announce budgets with numbers in four-year figures.
Right.
And sometimes the first-year figure isn't very exciting because it's much nicer to have a press release saying, we're building a $632 million hospital at Campbelltown, but only $10 million of it's being spent this year.
Then later on, they just cancel the rest of it.
Well, that may happen, maybe not. I don't think they're intending to do that at this point. But right. To be fair, Mr. Rao, J. Rao, said that obviously when you build a hospital, you need to make plans to put a DA in and do the groundwork. So I don't think that's too much of a criticism.
No.
And they've doubled the funding for the upgrade in total for the project, and it would be finished in 2024.
Okay.
To be fair, the government should be upfront and honest with this. Like, they announce stuff and they use weasel words to, like, and both sides of politics do this, Labor and Liberal, but they just can't say what it is.
No government usually does.
You know, completion dates aren't like saying because usually things don't complete on time sometimes.
Or, yeah.
But they should just be honest upfront with it. It's late. Deal with it. It's okay.
It makes them look bad and they won't.
Well, they don't care.
No,
not
no
like
public relation person's going to go, yeah, it looks bad, sorry.
But the thing that makes it look bad is that then you go out and say, we're giving you $10 million for a planning study. When you haven't spent, you only, like, and you announced the $600 million hospital that's built in 2024 in the budget this year and go, isn't it amazing what we've done for you this year? As a voter, I get confused.
Because I haven't done anything this year.
So you're easily confused, eh? Oh.
No, because I just clarified it all, so I'm unconfused now, thankfully. And they're all going smoke and mirrors, both sides of politics, but at the end of the day, you may get your hospital upgrade by the year 2024, which probably is a little bit too late considering the number of houses they've built. Because last time I checked, the houses they've been building have happened first before the hospital's been built.
If they double the amount of population, they should double the amount of beds in
mathematics
in the hospital as it's been built, not afterwards.
That's what they're trying to
late.
Do it for you.
All right. Of course, in 2015, Davey Brown was in the boxing tournament and he was... he was knocked out. He was concussed on the 12th and final round, and he died 4 months later in Liverpool Hospital. Now, apparently, the coroner urged changes after it was unpreventable, so it could have been stopped, right? So there's a closure. It could have been stopped, and it should have been stopped when it was, but it hadn't.
Stopped and didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Did the ref.
These Davey and his brother Tommy. Tommy's in the picture. He was a great boxer, and yeah, it was sad to what happened to him back then, 2 years ago, actually. Yeah.
Do you know more people die in boxing when boxing gloves are invented than bare knuckle fighting.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, that's a pointless fact I never needed to know.
So it could have been stopped.
Now, from today, any resident in the MacArthur region that happens to be in possession of illegal firearms.
Yeah.
You, you have...
Hey, I don't have any. We're joking.
You have 3 months to get rid of them and you won't be charged.
So you set Peter's arm on fire, you have an arm firearm.
The project is called... It's
amnesty.
The amnesty. Okay, you can read the article, Peter. Good going.
It's an amnesty.
A what? An amnesty.
Where do they hand in their weapons?
Police stations.
No, actually, they don't.
Well, they could.
They could. But where do they find these locations?
Looking on the website.
What's the website?
I've got now.
Findthegun.com.
Get rid of your guns legally.
This ain't America.com.au.
It's harmsamnesty.ag.gov.
Harms or arms?
Arms.
So you take your arms to the amnesty.
Firearms.
Firearms.
You take your legs to it too. Yeah, arms and legs.
You can take your head if you like, or your torso.
Chop your arm off and take it down.
Probably should take your body there if you're going to hand in your guns. Yes.
Now, also to record numbers at Mount Botanic Annan Gardens. More than 400,000 people visit the gardens in the last 12 months.
Yeah, it's a great place. They have a lot of weddings there as well.
Past 6 years, it's surprised it's 23 years of visitation figures of 1.6 million by a whopping 500,000 people. It's a hugely popular park, Steve. This must be annoying you on your daily run.
It does, because when I like to go there and they have weddings, they block off a big portion of it.
Get rid of those people at the
Steve's. People shouldn't get weddings.
Don't get married. Get even.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right.
But news in the koala budget. Bigger news in the koala budget.
Koalas. We've been talking about this for a very long time. There's efforts to conserve and protect our koalas in the local area, and they have received a boost in funding. Excellent.
Two more eucalyptus leaves.
Now, apparently the budget listed an 800,000 commitment.
That's a lot of eucalyptus leaves.
They're going to be high for a very long time.
Mm. They're always high in the tree.
But I don't think they're going to get that much, right? What can they possibly do with that?
$100,000.
The people who run it will get the money.
Oh, no, well, the koalas aren't going to get it.
No.
Yeah, koalas don't really go out and shop often, Nick.
Oh, there was one who went into a restaurant last week.
Now, one of the people that are... One of the councillors involved with it said that now they can move on to the next phase. However, they don't say what the next phase is. So, we have no idea what they're doing with the money.
Sounds exciting. They're going to save koalas.
Well, I hope they do, because koalas definitely need it.
Get the koalas to fight ISIS.
Mate, what religion are the koalas?
Because they won't recognise them. They won't know they are terrorists.
All right. That's it for Pete's Week?
Yep.
Welcome back to the program. You're here with Glenn, Peter, Mad Mick and Steve. We're talking television.
Now, my dad, Bad Bazza.
Yes.
I don't think he realised today.
Happy birthday, Baz.
Is that he shares a birthday with another much younger institution.
Yeah.
That's almost exactly as old as I will be in a couple of months. Uh-huh. And they celebrated this week.
Morning we've had, but most of all to you at home, thank you for waking up with today,
up today
for 35 years.
Wow.
Celebrate occasion. Why
I don't wake up.
Funny, my dad said that at his birthday party. He said, I wake up with Barry for 60 years, but anyway.
Did you sing him happy birthday?
No. I know, that's quite a good achievement, though, for one show, for 35 years.
One of the longest morning shows in Australian history.
I'll wake up with Mick.
Do you? Yeah, how old's that?
63 years.
Is that how you answer your phone? I wake up with Mick? That's what she said.
Well...
No, she didn't actually. No, funny that. Now, Richard Wilkins is also on the Today Show.
Yes, that's right.
And his son is on SBS.
Was on that show.
Was on Filthy Rich and Homeless, which is about doll bludgers, right, Pete? No?
No.
No.
It's
about
rich
people homeless.
Filthy Rich doll bludgers. That's the
homeless
there, really.
For 10 days.
Homeless for 10 days.
In Melbourne.
Yeah. This is how Richard Wilkins thought it went.
It's on our family, and I'm so proud because this is something that, I guess, you know, we know there's a problem, but we're sort of blissfully unaware of the magnitude of the problem. Yeah. And no bloody Australasian, no person in the world should be sleeping on the street. So any little thing we can do to help needs to be done. And maybe this is a small step in a huge problem.
What the hell's an Australasian?
Australasian means...
I don't like that.
New Zealand and Asia. Australia. That's Australasian.
There we go.
And
yeah.
New Guinea sometimes.
And I'll clear that up because I've never heard that phrase used before. What about the show, Mick? Have you watched it yet?
No.
Will you watch it?
No.
I do have it in my...
It was only on for 4 nights.
I have it saved in my SBS On Demand, so yes, I will watch it this week. It's 4 episodes to watch, though.
So. Yeah.
I'll see how I'll go after the first episode.
You don't watch TV, Steve.
No, yeah. I said SBS On Demand.
Yeah, that's TV.
No, that's on the internet, you guys morons.
Will it change much, though? Like, this is the issue, right? This is a very popular show. It gets headlines, tweets, and all that stuff. But is it going to change much about the fact that homelessness is still an issue? And
yeah, it is.
Probably not.
Is it going to change something?
No.
No.
No, I'd be surprised. It's due to the housing crisis.
It'll only give people an experience, but it won't do the change. Won't do any changing for it. Because these people who get the experience will not do anything in politics. So they won't be able to do anything.
No, I don't think anyone's watching us. Yes.
Yeah, like, there's an empty house near mine, like, exactly same house. That's Housing Commission. They could have put someone in that house by now. You know, it's just standing empty. They could have put someone in there like a month ago.
Richard Wilkinson should have been on there.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. Jeff Fenwick's daughter was on there, the boxer. The daughter
really?
Was on there. Yeah, it was interesting.
Exciting.
Yeah. Right, UK writer and the creator of Paddington Bear.
Boom, boom, boom.
Michael Bond has died, aged 91, at his home on Tuesday following a short illness. So he published his first book, A Bear Called Paddington, back in 1958.
Now, Dr. Carl, everyone's favourite scientist.
I think his name is Dr. Carl Kennedy.
No, not Carl Kennedy. No. Dr. Carl
Grzelinski.
Yeah. He's got a new show coming out called Dr. Carl's Outrageous Acts of Science. Exciting.
What channel?
Oh, you can't watch
one TV. You don't have, Mick.
One you don't have,
Mick. Oh, I'd pay TV.
On the other one, yeah.
Boo. Yes.
But, yeah, that's interesting.
Now, bad news, too, for cycling fans.
Yeah, good.
That's good.
Everyone loves cyclists on the show this week.
Oh, they're the best.
No, Phil Liggett. You know Phil Liggett?
Yes.
No.
The legendary commentator.
The commentator of all cycling events since the dawn of time.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
I don't watch cycling events.
You've heard his voice.
Yeah. No,
probably not.
SBS. Oh, come on.
I bet you I've never heard his voice.
Yes, you have. Olympics and SBS.
I don't watch the Olympics.
SBS.
Oh. Well, let's do the test.
Okay,
let's
Glenn,
see.
We'll do this. Phil Liggett.
Phil Liggett is, he's his greatest hits,
Phil
actually.
Liggett.
On CD.
Liggett.
Liggett.
Plays it occasionally.
But I thought he does cycling, not walking.
Anyway, let's... But a boom.
Sorry, go.
Wow, his greatest hits weren't as good as I thought.
Sounds of silence.
Sorry, you were right. I have heard his voice.
You have heard his voice. Come on, I told you you heard his voice.
I've heard nothing before.
Sounds of silence.
I'll get his voice for you because he is like... I don't know, Pete. He is like the ultimate... He's a cycling commentator.
Yeah, the legend.
Glenn,
man.
I have never watched a cycling event in my life.
A legendary cyclist.
You don't. Well, come on.
There hasn't really been enough words to describe this great sporting spectacle. The Tour de France brings out of every rider just about every emotion, as these pictures from more recent tours will testify.
You've never heard of his
never
voice.
Never heard of him.
Oh, come on.
You have
me
you?
Too.
Well, anyway, you won't be very upset then because he's no longer going to be fully hosting the Tour de France tonight at SBS, unfortunately.
I didn't even know the Tour de France was on tonight.
Yeah, well, it is.
Yeah.
Matthew Keane and Rob McEwen, it's going to front the SBS coverage now, and he's been given guest status role.
Oh, who did he annoy?
I don't know.
Phil's apparently devastated.
They save him.
He's not doing blow-by-blow commentary.
SBS is saving money.
First they get rid of the Eurovision hosts and now Phil.
Saving money, SBS.
I don't know what the hell that is, you know. I don't know, I'm a bit surprised by that whole thing because he is, I don't know, he's been there for a long time. He's looking I think he's going to do it forever.
I am devastated, Glenn.
Yeah. Now you've heard him.
Yeah,
now, other people never say this week too. Like, this is not even the biggest crisis of the week. Play School Pete, what's going on?
After all...
Play School correspondent Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Because you watch this every morning, don't you?
No, Peter, was it the rocket ship or was it the clock?
The windows.
Yeah, what was it?
The round
what
window.
Always went the circle.
It's always a circle?
Yeah, it's always a circle for me. Okay. But Play School has been moved to 9:30, and now Sesame Street's on at 9 o'clock, and everyone's got the
You got the wrong way around, Pete.
No, Play School's at 9, Sesame Street's at 9. They switch.
Yeah, they switched around. After all these years, right, and now they switched around, and then they can't, they haven't got a reason why. What's the reason why Channel 2?
Because they want to freshen things up, probably?
No, they have to justify their working, their job. So they have to change things. This happens a lot in politics and other things.
Just put it back.
I don't think this is going to impact on many lives. Like,
it's like, it's not gonna, it's,
you do not know.
It's not going to ruin kids' days, you know.
Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's only screened 4 times a day.
Oh, and they've got their own app, and they're online.
On the weekend.
They're on iView, and they've got millions of DVDs around the world.
It's like, community television is
My stable. Niece watches Play School every day. Whoopie do.
To be fair, they are all completely wrong, because I remember back when I was at primary school, Sesame Street was on 8 o'clock and Play School was at 9. So why is Sesame Street at 9:30 now?
Must be...
Come on,
I think
Bird, what are you sleeping in?
I know why
People are getting older?
Maybe.
No.
And they can download it. They can, well, not really.
They can
stream it.
They kids can. Off at school.
Well, it's all about the school times. Like people, because some like apparently preschoolers can now watch it more, and then people that go to school can't. There's all this kind of
makes sense
controversy. Because if you do the school run, drop off one of your kids, and then your other kids that hasn't got home to watch Play School yet, what will happen? Have you heard of like a PVR? Maybe you can record things,
or you can watch it on your. Phone or your iPad or your laptop.
Either way. Okay.
Crazy
world.
Crazy times we live in.
Complaining about not being able to watch Play School.
At a scheduled time.
Okay, this one's going to interest you.
Will it?
Kinmin Television in Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth have been given another 6-month extension at the last minute. And now they have got to the end of the year
December
to switch
31st.
Off again. Oh, that's twice now their last-minute decision.
I think they'll have more hay meal.
Oh,
yeah, keep it going.
We might have to come in and say, we've got a new idea. Let's have a community TV.
Come on.
The TBS is gone, so...
Well, make a new one. Make a whole new Channel Sydney.
Channel Sydney.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You've got a ring to it, actually, Pete. You should work in marketing.
That's what TV stands for.
Television Sydney.
I know what TV
but not Channel Sydney.
For.
Channel Sydney.
I'll come back a new one. Channel Sydney!
CS.
Saturday night.
Now, just in from the Piers Morgan desk, here's some thoughts about politics that really hit a chord with viewers.
Agree with.
I get annoyed when people start banging on about politics on Facebook. It really annoys me. I've had to unfriend family members. Because it's just like, I can't, but please, I need some respite. Can't you just put a picture of your little kid, you know, having an ice cream or something,
exactly,
or doing
what
a cartwheel?
Yeah, when someone just keeps going on and on, and you just need respite and a break, and you just wish you could defriend them, but you're just forced every day to listen to their views. I know exactly how you feel.
And it's 6:12 on Good Morning Britain. Happy campers there.
Yeah, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I think like a good fight before 7 a.m. in the morning.
Radio isn't visual, obviously, but Piers Morgan looked so crushed.
He went, oh, wow, that's they really think of me.
It's like, yeah.
Not the first time I think this has been said about him.
No.
I think the Americans didn't like him.
He was on CNN for a while. I'm sure he's heard worse things.
Yeah, it was that telling Americans not to have guns. So, like...
And now he's not there anymore. So.
Clearly he left the country for good reason.
Trump said you're fired.
No, it was.
It wasn't Trump saying that.
No,
this was fired. Before. He left before Trump.
It was before Trump turned up.
Yeah, way before Trump actually.
Pre-Trump or post-Trump?
Post-Trump.
Pre-Trump.
A post-Trump bump.
Well, you know. Now people are crying worldwide at the moment. Well, just in Australia actually, because the Netflix have risen their fees.
Well. What do you know?
I mean, I'm still a Netflix fan, so I don't.
They didn't put it up that much.
No, it's like $18 a month if you want. Like their main thing with all the screens and the HD and whatnot. Mm. It's fine. You're getting what you pay
for. Well, if it goes up, you say.
It's the same as other providers. They make you pay for your service.
When it goes up, you've got to expect it. If you don't like it, can't have it. But Seven has signed a long-term deal with Golf Australia to broadcast the Australian Open and the Australian PGA Championships this summer and beyond. Because the Emirates Australian Open will be in Sydney 23rd and 26th November, and the following week, the championships will be on the Gold Coast from the 30th of November to the 3rd of December, of course.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
That's good on that one.
Now, The Jetsons is getting a live animation sitcom.
Yay. I love The
Can
Jetsons.
Can you believe it?
Yes.
They're so futuristic back in the day.
They were.
Actually, they were well before.
They're not futuristic now. It's old hat.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I reckon I haven't seen a tablet with my lunch yet.
Well, Or you put like a little cube into a microwave and then a big meal pops up.
And where's Betty?
No. Haven't seen Betty. Like, programming. No, just punching it.
Betty Boo.
Now, I'm just in from the news desk in Melbourne.
Hello again. I'm pleased to say we're back with you from the Melbourne studios. Also back, paper scripts and glasses to read them with. So here we go.
Wow. That's old school.
We use paper scripts all the time. What's he talking about?
And we wear glasses, mostly.
No, I never wear glasses.
Not in here, but like, we wear glasses.
Well, it's true, yeah.
I know.
What about when you drink beer? You wear beer glasses?
I don't drink beer.
Beer glasses.
Oh. So, apparently they had... But here's the question. What caused this? Was it the bug that went out the other day, the computer virus? Was it Donald Trump hacked into Channel 9.
Or his Russian
friends. Russians. Is Putin upset by Peter Hitchenson and Melbourne's newscast?
Peter Hitchenson.
What has he done? Well, he has a simple explanation.
These little babies had to be brought out of mothballs tonight because suddenly we were back to paper scripts. How long is it since we've seen those? Well, about two or three centuries. But tonight, the computer system decided it was just going to be a little bit all over the place. So there is back to paper and glasses to read it with. Now, of course, everyone's been having a good long look at what could have gone wrong with the system. No, it wasn't malware. No, it wasn't a Bitcoin demand for ransom. No, nothing like that. It was just a teeny little bit of aberrant computer stuff that got into the system. So, unfortunately, we weren't able to quite do it the way we planned.
Aberrant computer stuff. Have you ever had any aberrant computer stuff,
Steve? I've never had an aberrant problem with my computer.
Is this done by Abbott? Aberrant?
Trying to take over.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he Prime Minister yet?
No. He's trying. He's been this weekend. He's been trying his hardest.
That would be called aberrant, would it?
Aberrant.
He is aberrant. That's very true.
He's very adamant on trying to become Prime Minister again.
Adamant being Prime Minister. Oh, dear. I'm on Tish. God.
All right. What else you got, Peter?
All right. Super. Hey, Super Nanny. Remember the Super Nanny?
I do, actually.
I know. Yeah. We sent it to your house the other day, Pete.
Well, Australia's Super Nanny is on the way. They're looking for females with the age between 25 to 60. So if you're between 25 and 60 and you want to be the new Australian Super Nanny, go on.
That's sexist, that is. That's sexist. I take offence to that because men do look after babies as well.
No,
there's been male Super Nanny.
Oh, people in offence.
That's sexist, just looking for women.
Gender roles,
Nick. Yeah.
So what's a male nanny?
Yeah.
That's a Danny.
A Manny. Daddy. You want to be a Manny Mick, do you? Manny Mick?
Manny Mick. Manny Mick. All of this is looking after kids. Men can do it just as good as women.
Okay.
Well, that's not wrong.
Well, go for it, Mick. You be a minimalist and you become a Manny.
Yeah.
Manny Mick.
Watch the red pill, Mick.
Super Manny Mick. I can say it. It controls the tip of your tongue. Well, maybe Mick, if he was a senior high school student.
So would that make you Mad Manny?
Mad
Manny.
There's a father called Manny, isn't there?
Manny Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao. Oh, this is... Well. Anyway, Q&A is looking for a fighter. There's a senior high school student keen to tackle the big issues behind the desk. The desk. They're going to have a panelist. There's a high school student on Q&A. You can put an audition in at the moment. Talk about your passionate, why you'd be a good audition. And at last, be someone sensible at the Q&A desk than the usual clowns they have.
Sure.
Tony Jones, you don't like Tony Jones?
Get rid of all the so-called...
I thought that was a comment, Steve.
You can whatever you like. That's what they should tell him.
So, yep, put your nominations in now.
Hey, what's up?
100.3 FM.
Listeners won't be okay because it is time for Mad Mick Presents Part 2.
Yes.
Make the madness happen.
What do you got, Mick? Drive them mad.
I just forgot what I was going to say.
You were talking about buildings and...
Buildings.
And approvals.
Since the big fire in England, and there's been several little
we
fires...
We did talk about this in your absence last week, Mick, and we predicted that you'd complain about this.
Yes.
Yeah. And we convicted that you'll say that people and in high-rises live in dangerous buildings.
Not only high-rises, they're fine.
Well, he has said that
these
before.
People who are supposed to be... where they used to have building inspectors, Now, the people who sign off on buildings are the people who are building it. They have found very much a lot of defects in this system, and they want to bring the building inspectors back. Because okay. What happens when you get it move into a building and it's not, and it's defective, and something goes wrong, like in Auburn, the mayor who built the thing, who lost the roof on his development.
Mm-hmm. But let's be clear, you can't check your own work, but you can select your certifying inspector when you
No, you can check your own work. They sign off on their own
property. Don't they normally property. Have an inspector no. scheduled no. before they...
They have. Do. They sign off on their own property, and this has been wrought.
In what stage of the
developers,
process, though?
The developers have been wroughting it. There has been a lot of defects. One defect was an example of a fireproof wall. Where there was a gap between the fireproof wall and the other wall where the fire could come up and burn the other side of the building up.
But where does this happen, though, Vic? Is it after when your building's complete, who certifies your building?
The people who build it.
But that's they've got to do with having
They've done the same
checks,
thing in
goods.
England. They've had the same problem.
Then
so we
check?
follow the leader, and that's pretty bloody stupid.
Right.
Think...
But I'm not gathering, Mick, is who's certifying it, though?
The people who are building the building.
But they should certify it. If you're building the building, you should certify
no,
it.
No, you
they
should...
You should check
your own
not,
works.
You should not be certifying. They
you should check your own
an
work.
An independent person to come in and say, this is wrong, this is wrong.
For every building
signed off on, it should be fixed up.
But
not left behind for the tenants to go having to pay the money to fix it up in the first place.
Someone could be lazy and just tick it off and that's
no. In the old days, you had building inspectors and building inspectors would, unless you paid them a graft, some bribery, if it was something wrong...
So the old days were good, as long as you bribed your building inspector, you could have an unsafe building, but now you don't bribe them anymore.
There was a lot of bribing, especially down Wollongong, on that Wollongong problem where...
You don't know that, though.
There was people being bribed in those days. Yeah.
That was common.
There's corruption, I think it's called.
Yeah.
But corruption brings...
But I think in some... I don't think every building's like that. It's
it is. You don't get a building inspector, you only get the developers.
I'm sure there's a lot, but...
I think you can select it. I think this is the issue.
No.
They should have someone that isn't them that certified.
That's right. That's what they should be doing.
They should.
They should have... And they're talking about bringing them back in.
They should bring them back in.
Yeah. We've seen the... consequences of poor building structure. You see it in third world nations and spread over here.
Yeah.
Have a look at Auburn when they lost their roof. And who built it? The mayor of Auburn.
I don't think the mayor of Auburn.
He was a developer.
His construction company.
He was
the, let's be clear. I don't think we know that. Exactly
he was a developer, the mayor of Auburn, not the vice thing. And when the winds come along, they blew the roof off.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
And they can't do anything about it. They won't even... The insurance company wouldn't pay for it.
Because it was against the DA.
And the tenants have to pay for it now, or the owners.
Well, isn't that the fact that the law's
no,
wrong?
No, it's not.
The law's wrong.
It should have been...
The law's wrong.
Ahead and they should have took all his money, took all the...
No, but the law's wrong.
Confiscated all the mayor's property and made him... Sold it all up and paid
well,
it for that.
It's not how it works in your limited liability company.
No, it should be... You build it, you decided to make it cheap and shoddy, they should be able to make them pay for it.
I don't think there's a button that says make it cheap and shoddy, Mick. Maybe they go, oh, we'll get the cheap and shoddy stuff.
That's when they definitely don't check their work.
Maybe it was the wind's fault, Mick. Anyone consider it might be the wind's
could
fault?
Could have been strong winds.
Yeah.
Their wind was as strong as my farts.
Well, you must blow buildings away, Mick.
Wow. Don't have a building near Mick's backside.
Don't build anything near Mick.
Keep his backside unconstructed.
Have you ever seen a fart lid?
No.
But can we bring it back up to a higher level of conversation? Maybe it's a change of topic.
You had something good going there, Mick.
Yeah.
I do believe that they should have their work checked by an external person.
I think they do. They do, Mick. They would have to. When you get a completion certificate, Mick. Mick. If you get a completion certificate, Mick, what I'm telling you what the problem is, you get a completion certificate from the council when you get your DA completed. You get the council to either do it, or you then have to pick your own certifying authority. Now, the issue is actually not the fact that you can pick your own certifying authority, which then makes the system a bit corruptible, because if you then pick a certifying authority that you think is really good, they may not be as tough, because they want to get your work. So maybe they should have a random system that... They've got to get the system right. There's no point saying they...
Like a random...
you know, you,
generator.
Someone independent.
They sign off on their own work. Have a look in the internet.
They don't. They pick a certifying company that does it. You can't sign off on your own work, Mick.
Well, they shouldn't be
getting your news from hashtag fact fake news. But I know when you get a police certificate from a DA, is you can select who you want to certify. When I last had a DA completion certificate, we had to get, we got the council to do it.
When we,
so it's not hard to do in a lot of that, and I think that that's fair. But the problem is, even a lot of building reports these days too, they're not particularly that strict, and they're all very broad guidelines, and it's a quality within the details. No point having a building inspector turn it's independent if the guidelines aren't tough enough to stop things going wrong.
That's like this one down at Walleye Creek,
yeah,
where this building was being built, and it was supposed to be 10 metres apart from the other building, and it was only a metre apart, and the people who are living in the first building lost all their light, and light is very important.
Buy a torch. Is that the advice?
Open your eyes.
And this was signed off by an idiot.
Well, that's...
And it's just like the other idiot who signed off on a building which had half a detachable house onto a seven-story or eight-story building. And that should have been knocked on the head too. And the person who passed that should have been all his money confiscated and paid for the damage what they had to fix.
Taking everyone's money going to solve the problem?
Yes, it will, because it'll stop people from doing the same thing.
But then
thing.
Nothing will get built, because you need money to build things.
Yeah, who's going to put their risk of
or their assets?
What's jail for? To deter people from being doing the wrong thing? This is what
to pull people away from doing bad things.
It's also deter people.
So Mad Mick's Taking All Your Money's Force starts next week.
And his gusts and winds.
Anything else making you mad this week?
Plenty.
Anything you want to mention on the radio?
Not really.
Okay. Oh, okay. In that case, it's request time.
Yes, Tony wanted the Sunny Boys. Normally he joins us, but he wanted a request.
He's hanging out at Camden tonight.
But from teddy bear to cats.
To Opal Man. Here is a new Opal Man. Now, this is a story we heard this week. It's a bit of a crazy story.
Tapping on can take a few tries due to the modifications. The chip had to be cut out and encased in biocompatible plastic before being implanted by a piercing specialist who was able to manage the risk of infection.
Most definitely don't try it at home unless you know what you're doing. I think the most important thing, be aware of the risks involved and then make wise judgment based on that.
Now, I would be taking wise judgments from this man. He has put an opal card in his hand.
The chip.
So he's chopped the opal card up, popped it into a little cylinder, yeah, then injected it into his hand. Because, you know, like, and one of his reasons he said for this, and a very wise man once said, that if you lose your wallet on the way home, how do you get home without your opal card in your hand?
You can still get home.
You can't lose your opal card. Unless you lost your hand as well, that would be awkward.
Then you can't get home.
He's
had a bad handle.
But I haven't lost my Opal card. Well, I did lose it once, but I got another one. But this guy's so normal that his name is just amazing.
So it's Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow?
Imagine trying to spell that.
Imagine
spelling that word.
Ludo Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow.
He's
a white male Australian.
Yeah. He's weird, is all I can say.
Hey, he can name himself whatever he likes.
Meow, meow. In the age of fake news, my advice to the ABC, if you're interviewing Mr. Meow Meow, not Mao Mao, he's in China, many generations ago, but Mr. Meow Meow said, I would like whiskers for dinner.
You can get whatever you... And then you pat him on the head and...
But he has, is this a good idea?
It'll be Paddington Bear, won't it? Paddington a bear?
No, pat him on the head, not pat. Anyway.
But is this really that helpful?
No.
It's a bit silly. I've got a pocket that has, my Opal card in it, and it's quite, it works.
Why don't they make up a special injection?
You just get your wallet out and you hold it on there.
Now, Mr. Meow Meow also has a Mickey Mouse Band-Aid to cover up his Opal cards.
See, he couldn't even get a Tomcat.
What they could do now is put them on like they do for registering dogs and cats.
Microchip.
Does he have to get
tagged? Microchip him. Make microchip him.
Oh, what happens if he gets lost?
Yeah.
Well,
but don't use the Opal card.
So the next time he gets a new Opal card, does he have to inject himself again?
Oh, yeah, it was a big con with Opal cards too.
That's right. What was the con?
Yeah, the con was you buy yourself and you get...
Apart from the single ticket con where they charge you a fortune if you don't bring it one day.
No, what happens is They buy themselves, they get a
Opal
card, because you don't have to pay for it, put so much on it, say $5 or $10, and go to, say, the airport. And the airport is...
You're just jumping platforms.
No. So you're doing fare evasion, Mick.
And then they hit it, and there's not enough money on, they all allow through the gate, and they just throw their Opal card in the bin.
Well, there's a simple solution to that, and so I don't know why the government, they've messed this whole system up often, because it's so hard to put money on an Opal card. Like at the last minute, or buy one at the last minute.
Is it?
Oh, it is like seriously impossible. My mum today went to the train station and she didn't have her Opal card ready, couldn't find it. And then you can't buy an Opal card at the train station.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah, that's the stupidest thing.
And the other thing is, too, what they could easily do at the train stations if people hadn't paid their full amount is don't let them out of the train station, make them have to pay before they exit. Mm. They do this in a lot of other countries.
Yeah.
But yeah, this scam's going to be shut down, I think, at some point. The government, they've lost millions of dollars from it, and they're calling it fare evasion.
Yeah.
Which I think is a bit of a strong...
Fare evasion, because they already
You haven't paid for your fare, because you're obviously... Well,
they haven't paid. They paid for it.
And tapped off, and then their card goes negative.
They still paid for it.
They've only paid for partial trip.
Fare evasion.
But when you don't... But how do you calculate how much your fare is?
You won't know, because they're capping off.
Like, how often do you catch the bus and say, oh, that's a 3.5-kilometre trip. That's going to cost me $4.50.
Yeah.
Or $3.50 or whatever it might be.
You can't really determine that.
The fare system isn't transparent enough to know how much it's going to cost you to go.
And the worst part about it...
The whole thing's screwed.
Like, I went to pay money to my Opal card.
Mm-hmm.
And the service where I normally put it in at the post office, mm-hmm. Sorry, we're not doing any this week. We have to do it next week. So, and you're running for the train. How are you supposed to pay for your ticket?
Yeah, easy. You got an Opal card, Mick?
Yes.
Mick, use the app on your phone.
Go to the train station. They've got a machine. You swipe it there. Not at every train station. Glenfield, they have it
Campbelltown
there.
Campbelltown does.
But you have to use your credit card or...
No, you can use cash.
No, you can't.
Yeah, there's no cash. But it's not all of them.
Exactly. I don't think there'd be one. Is there one at Glenfield?
And the worst thing about this Opal card's got rid of free trips, which you expected to get when you bought weekly or yearly or quarterly. But now these people are so bloody greedy, this government, they squeeze every little drop out of you.
Mick, we could talk about the government for days, but we have to go.
Tonight.
We'll see you next week.
Our podcast is online.
There'll be one this week, saturdaynightlive.com.au. Episode 210, maybe? 11? It's around there.
Is
that on the Great Southern Line?
It's on the clothesline, I believe.
Clothesline, okay.
Oh, I left the clothes out.
All right. Quarter time, Western Sydney 19, Geelong 19. So it's all tied up there. Richmond 8, Port Adelaide 3. In the NRL, it's Cowboys 8, Canberra 6.
Oh, and the Ice Dogs 1 too.
And the Ice Dogs is good.
Yes. And also, there's a fight tomorrow, Pete.
Pacquiao and Horn.
Horn, there you go.
Jeff Horn. Go Jeff Horn.